So with that primer on the international law rights to legal aid and Canada's obligations under those laws, we can now look at the situation in BC. A limited right to legal aid exists in common law predating the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is reflected in sections 684 and 694 of the Criminal Code. These provisions give the Court of Appeal and the Courts of Appeal and the Supreme Court of Canada and judges from those courts the discretionary authority to order legal aid for an accused person who cannot afford a lawyer. In BC, as in other Canadian provinces and territories, there is statutory law relating to the provision of legal aid. And although the Charter does not contain an express right to legal aid, the courts have found a right to legal aid in certain circumstances flowing from rights in the Charter. We will turn to the BC Legal Services Act first and then to some pertinent case law. The UN principles urge states to enact legislation to put in place a comprehensive legal aid system that is accessible, effective, sustainable, and credible. In her 2013 report, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Independence of Judges and Lawyers, Gabrielle Knoll, identified elements of the right to legal aid that should be set out in domestic legislation based on the UN principles. She said that legal aid legislation should ensure effective legal aid at all stages of the justice process. In particular, legislation should ensure effective legal aid for victims of human rights violations. It should include specific criteria to determine eligibility for legal aid, particularly with respect to the limits of the financial means that trigger eligibility. It should ensure that the right of appeal to persons denied legal aid, and it should ensure that professionals working for the legal aid system possess the qualifications and training appropriate for the services they provide. A review of the BC Legal Services Act indicates that the Act does not ensure effective legal aid, nor contain the other requirements identified above or in the international standards. Nor does the Legal Services Society possess the independence from government recommended by the UN principles. In 2003, the Legal Services Society board members were fired for refusing to carry out budget cuts ordered by government. The Act was then amended to provide for the majority of members to be appointed by government, to prohibit the board from running a deficit, and to require government approval of Legal Society budgets. The authority of the Legal Services Society to act is subject to the regulations and a memorandum of understanding with government. Turning to the legal aid jurisprudence, from a selected analysis of the case law on the right to legal aid in Canada, we can make the following observations. One, the jurisprudence on legal aid in Canada and BC does not, as a rule, refer to international law rights to legal aid. And second, the Charter does not contain a general right to counsel. Thirdly, the courts have not established a right to legal aid at all stages of proceedings. Fourthly, a right to legal aid in Canada flows from the Charter protected right to a fair trial, the right to liberty and security of the person, and to a very limited extent from the right to equality. And fifthly, the courts have shown a reluctance to order government to provide legal aid in order to guarantee the right to a remedy under the Charter. In Canadian law, there is no general constitutional right to counsel. The only explicit mention of the right to counsel in the Charter is contained in Section 10b. Under Section 10b, persons arrested or detained have the constitutional right to retain and instruct counsel without delay and to be informed of that right. The courts have indicated that that right does not translate into a right to have counsel provided by the state. Rather, the authorities are obligated to advise persons who are arrested of their right to apply for legal aid where it is available and to provide telephone numbers. In the United States, the U.S. Supreme Court has held that the Sixth Amendment's guarantee of counsel is a fundamental right, essential to a fair trial, and includes the right to have counsel provided at public expense, at least where an accused person is unable to afford counsel, and the offense charged carries a penalty of imprisonment. The absence of a broad Charter right to legal aid was recently confirmed by the Supreme Court of Canada in British Columbia Attorney General versus Christie. Mr. Christie, who provided legal services pro bono to low-income individuals not eligible for legal aid, had brought a test case challenging the constitutionality of tax on legal services, which Mr. Christie argued restricted the right to hire counsel. While the BC Supreme Court and the BC Court of Appeal found in favor of Mr. Christie, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that the constitutional right to access the courts in Canada is not absolute. The Supreme Court of Canada agreed that access to legal services is fundamentally important in any free and democratic society, and in some cases is essential to due process and a fair trial, but ruled that there is no broad general right to counsel in Canadian law as an aspect of or precondition to the rule of law. In rejecting the concept of a broad right to legal aid where legal rights or obligations are at stake, the Supreme Court of Canada commented that what was being sought was not a small incremental charge in the delivery of legal services, but a huge change that would alter the legal landscape and impose a not inconsiderable burden on taxpayers. An implied right to legal aid in Canada has been recognized in criminal and in some limited civil proceedings, flowing from the right to liberty and security of the person under Section 7 of the Charter and from the right to a fair trial under Section 11D of the Charter. The Ontario Court of Appeal decision in R versus Robothan is commonly cited as authority for the existence of a right to funded legal aid where representation is necessary to ensure a fair trial. In that case, the accused was denied legal aid on the grounds that her income of $24,000 a year disqualified her, although the trial was expected to take months. The trial ultimately lasted 12 months, during which time the accused was unrepresented. The court ruled that compelling the accused to proceed without counsel contravened her right to a fair trial and her right not to be deprived of liberty, except in accordance with the principles of fundamental justice, in violations of Section 7 and 11D of the Charter. It is interesting to note that the Ontario Court of Appeal in Robothan expressed the opinion that those who framed the Charter did not expressly constitutionalize the right of an indigent accused to be provided with counsel, because they considered that, generally speaking, the provincial legal aid systems in place at the advent of the Charter were adequate to provide counsel for persons charged with serious crimes who lacked the means to employ counsel. For those cases not falling within legal aid plans, the Ontario Court of Appeal ruled that Section 7 and 11D of the Charter require funded counsel if the accused wishes counsel but cannot afford to pay a lawyer, and representation of the accused by counsel is essential to a fair trial. While the Ontario Court of Appeal referred to the ICCPR and the European Convention on Human Rights in its discussion concerning the evolution of the right to counsel, it did not base its finding on a right to legal aid on international law principles or Canada's international law obligations. Once the accused meets the onus of establishing diligent attempts to obtain counsel, the court will consider the seriousness and complexity of the charge, the consequences of a conviction, and the ability of the accused to participate effectively and to defend the case in order to determine whether counsel is essential to ensure the right to a fair trial. This is essentially the merits test that we referred to earlier. An application by an accused for charter relief, normally a stay of proceedings, alleging that denial of legal aid in a criminal proceeding has jeopardized the applicant's right to a fair trial, has become known as a Robothan application. The courts in Canada have not required the appointment of counsel at all stages of the proceedings, including at the level of appeal, contrary to international standards. The right to legal aid in civil proceeding in Canada has so far been interpreted by the courts to flow not from the right to a fair trial, as is the case in international law, but only from the Section 7 right to liberty and security of the person. The seminal case is New Brunswick Minister of Health and Community Services versus G. In that case, New Brunswick was attempting to extend a temporary custody order over the appellant's three children. The appellant, who was indigent and on social assistance, was denied legal aid to assist her in the custody hearing on the basis that custody applications were not covered under the province's legal aid guidelines. The Supreme Court of Canada ruled in that case that the right to security of the person under Section 7 protects both the physical and psychological integrity of the individual, and that state removal of a child from parental custody constitutes a serious interference with the psychological integrity of the person. In addition to the right to security, the Supreme Court of Canada indicated that the right to liberty interest under Section 7 is also implicated by wardship proceedings. The Supreme Court of Canada emphasized that a legal aid scheme is not the only mechanism by which government may fulfill its constitutional obligations in such a case, and that the court should not dictate the provinces what special delivery system should have been employed. To date, the courts in Canada have interpreted the right to civil legal aid under Section 7 of the Charter as flowing from government action which threatens a person's Section 7 rights and which is the subject of the proceeding. Therefore, a private dispute cannot support a Section 7 claim for legal aid. The test for an infringement of a person's psychological integrity is restricted to serious state-imposed psychological stress. In the New Brunswick case, Madam Justice LaRue Dubé found in her concurring judgment that in addition to Section 7 rights, the case also raised equality rights guaranteed under Section 15 of the Charter. Issues of gender equality were implicated because women, especially single mothers, are disproportionately and particularly affected by child protection proceedings. As well as affecting women in particular, issues of fairness in child protection hearings also have particular importance for the interests of women and men who are members of other disadvantaged and vulnerable groups. Canadian courts have, however, indicated a reluctance to interpret the Charter in such a way as to determine priorities for government funding of legal aid to address issues of inequality. And finally, the right to a remedy. In Section 24.1 of the Charter, in Canada, Section 24.1 of the Charter provides that anyone whose charter rights or freedoms have been infringed or denied may apply to a court to obtain a remedy. Where an individual is denied access to pursue a remedy in relation to a rights violation because of a lack of legal aid, such a denial may constitute a further violation under international human rights law. With respect to Section 24 of the Charter, its application is limited to remedies for charter violations. If international human rights law, which Canada has agreed to be bound by, is not reflected in the Charter, a right to a remedy under Section 24 may not be relevant. Even where a Section 24 remedy may apply, for example, where a charter violation has resulted from the absence of legal representation, the courts have traditionally exercised restraint when it comes to ordering government to pay specific monies out of public funds, preferring in the context of criminal proceedings to order a stay of proceedings. And in conclusion, our review of the international standards indicates that legal aid in BC falls short of Canada's obligations to provide legal aid under international human rights law. Lawyers Whites Watch Canada recommends the enactment of legislation creating a provincial duty to ensure the right to legal aid in all cases where the individual or individuals involved cannot afford access to justice to seek a remedy for rights guaranteed by international human rights law binding on Canada. These recommendations reflect the provisions of the UN principles and guidelines to be applied to criminal, civil, and administrative law proceedings. We won't go into the recommendations tonight, but we encourage you to review them and provide us with any comments you may have. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you for listening.